If you will, can you turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26, and what we're doing, we're going over the five courses of punishments, but right now we're looking at the second course, the rest of the second course, and then we're going to enter into the third course of punishment. And what we did, we looked at, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the courses of punishments there. We were in the second course, and we've seen all of the things that was described there. And I'm just going to, we're going to read that off in a second here. And we see what Solomon did. And Solomon took all those strange wives unto himself, and he built high places to their gods, their so-called gods in those places. And, he went after that. He completely disobeyed God there. But let's go to second, let's go to Leviticus 26. Let's look at verse 18. And verse 18 here, this is where you see that second course. We looked at the first course already a few weeks back. Let's look at verse 18 here. Leviticus 26, verse 18. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth is brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. Now, this is what you see, the second course here. And this is what they're going to, Israel's going to experience this here. And we see that I will break the pride of your power. We looked at a little bit of that 2 weeks ago about Israel being split into two nations. There's the nation itself being split into two separate groups, or you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the reason why that break the pride of your power, that terminology is so instrumental there, is at the time when it was written, it wasn't meant to be what Israelite would look at that and didn't know that that's what God meant when he said break the pride of your power. But see, because of some of the conquering that we saw Israel do, we've seen Israel, they had a few men beat nations. And Israel was looked upon as being a powerful nation, a national power among other lands under David's reign and Solomon's reign. They conquered many, many nations. And they were looked upon as a power, a powerful nation. Well, when breaking the pride of their power would be to break that nation in half. And that's what happened there. That's what we see happen. Now, not to mention just seeing that happen, there were also things that you see a judgment upon weather and environmental conditions. There was drought. There was crop failures. There wasn't any production there. And that's what you see. And we're going to look at this because also all the kings that reigned in the southern kingdom or the northern kingdom, they got worse and worse and worse. Under that second course of punishment, they got worse all the way down to King Ahab. You would get all the way down to King Ahab and then his son, King Ahaziah. And that's when it really just... That's when everything just flipped off and it just got worse and worse there. Now, what you want to do is take a look at the particulars at hand there. Okay, now let's come over to First King chapter 11. And again, this is what we're going to look at. We're just going to go over just a little bit of it because we covered this already. First King chapter 11, verse 1. And this is where Solomon took strange wives. And we're going to work our way down here. I'm just going to read the verse 1 here. First Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonites, and the Hittites. Now, as you're looking at this here, you're seeing all the women that he loves. Now come on down to verse 6. And all this here, it shows about the gods that he built idols onto. Verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David, his father. As you see, it gets worse. It seems as though as the one generation, and the next generation just gets worse. And now I guess we can see why the courses of punishments got worse. It got worse as time went on there. Now, when you're looking at this here, you're looking. Let's look at verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. How can you imagine if if God came appeared unto you? How could you? You would think, how could you do such abominational sights before him? Now, and look at verse 10. And had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded him. And you see, this is because of Solomon's pride. He was doing abominations in the sight of the Lord. And, you know, for instance, a king was not supposed to gather horses, chariots, many strange women. And that was part of the law. He broke that law there. And that's what he did. And that ungodliness became so wicked that he built high places for those so-called gods. And, you know, the courses of punishment there, they're going to get worse. And you see how it says in verse 9 that Solomon, his heart turned from the Lord. Well, when you see later on, you're going to see in the third course, when Israel walks contrary unto the Lord, he's going to walk contrary unto them. Then he's going to walk contrary unto them in fury. So as you see here, Solomon, he turned his heart from the Lord. Now let's look at verse 11 here. Let's look at verse 11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee. Now this is what we just read, Leviticus 26. He didn't keep that. I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in the days, I will not do it for, but notwithstanding in thy days will I not do it for David's, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. So what the Lord is saying here, he's saying he's not going to do it in the days of Solomon. So Solomon is guaranteed, well, the people of Israel is guaranteed, that as long as Solomon lives, the kingdom will stand sure, and that course of punishment will not come in. Look at verse 13. Howbeit, I will not rend it away rendered away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And this is speaking of Judah. This is speaking of Benjamin, along with Benjamin. And as you see, the Lord is going to rend the kingdom from Solomon's son. This meant the Lord was going to divide that kingdom into two parts. And of course, we said seeing the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And this is what we're going to see. Now come down to verse 31, 1 Kings 11, verse 31. And this is what you're going to see here, the two sons here. One is going to be Jeroboam, and one's going to be Rehoboam. Let's see here. It says, and he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the 10 tribes. Okay, so now you have Jeroboam. He's going to be representing the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom. And Rehoboam is going to be representing the southern kingdom, which is Judah. And that's going to be the southern kingdom there, Judah with Benjamin there. Where were we? Okay, verse 33. Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways, do that which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments as did his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but will make him a prince all the days of his life, for David, my servant's sake, whom I choose, because he kept my commandments and statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. Now this is what's being given over to Jeroboam again here. Let's come down to verse 38. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee and will walk in my ways and do that which is right in my sight and keep my statutes and keep my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, I will give Israel unto thee. Now, you see Jeroboam here being given this, but what you see going to happen here? Jeroboam, he did much idolatry in the land, just as his father did. The Lord gave 10 tribes to Jeroboam, 2 tribes unto his servant David, Judah and Benjamin. And what you're going to see is the Lord's going to establish his kingdom through the seed of David, through the southern kingdom. And they're going to keep his commandments and statutes. Now let's come down to, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings 12. 1 Kings 12, and let's look at verse 19. So the Lord rebelled. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And this is what you see. You see in Israel rebelling constantly. They get worse. Verse 20. And it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was to come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him a king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin. 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, to the remnant of people, saying, thus the Lord said, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearken therefore to the word of the Lord and return to depart according to the word of the Lord. Now see, here you have them hearkening unto what the Lord said. They wanted to go fight against them, against their brethren. But as the Lord said, if you hearken unto me, then I will do this. And the northern kingdom, they experienced the courses of punishment first. Then the southern kingdom would experience the courses of punishments. The northern kingdom went through that third course years before the southern kingdom felt the effects of the third course. And the northern kingdom was going to be the first one to go into Gentile captivity. That's a Syrian captivity. Then later, you're going to see the southern kingdom going into the Babylonian captivity. Now come down to chapter 21. 1 Kings 21, let's look at verse 5. Chapter 21, verse 5. And this is talking about King Ahab here, under that second course. And his son is going to be the one to bring in that third course. But let's look at that. But there was none like Ahab. This is King Ahab here. The king Ahab is king Ahab is of the northern kingdom, one of the 10 tribes. There's none, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Now, you know, it's something here. It says there was none like unto Ahab. And you know all the abominations that we've seen that man has done from Adam. This says there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness. And when you sell yourself to do something, you're just giving yourself up onto it. You're given over onto it to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And his wife here, you can pretty much get the gist of it. I'm not saying she was the mover and shaker of his wickedness, but she was there to, as the Bible says here, to stir it up. Verse 26, and he did very abominably in following idols. Not just abomination, but very abominably in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it's funny because the Lord got rid of the Amorites here. But you have King Ahab, king of Israel, going after the things of this strange nation that God cast out and doing it very abominably. Verse 27, it came to pass when Ahab heard these words, he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his day, but in his son's day will I bring the evil upon his house. Now, the son is Ahaziah, that is King Ahab's son. And it's not going to be in his day, but it's going to be in his son's day is what we're going to see. And that's where we're going to come to the third course of punishment there. And all that wickedness and sinful way, that should have brought that third course of punishment in. But because he humbled himself before the Lord, you know, the Lord had mercy. And that should have been a sign to Israel to humble themselves as a nation before the Lord, as you would think. Now come back to Leviticus 26, and let's take a look at that third course. Let's take a look at the third course, Leviticus 26, and let's look at verse 21. Verse 21. And if ye will walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you, according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed by me, by these things, but will walk contrary unto me. Okay, now, of course, it's going to go in verse 24, it's going to say, then I will also. So, but I should have stopped at verse 20, 22 there. But as you see, in verse 21, the Lord is saying here, if you will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And as you see, what was Ahab's was doing very abominable sins and wicked, very wicked. And can you imagine something being done seven times based upon that? And so let's take a look at some of these things here. Let's take a look at some of these things here. And what we're going to see King Uzziah he's going to be provoking God to anger all the more. And you're going to see Elijah. Elijah is that third course of, actually second course of punishment prophet. And when Elijah showed God coming into the land. That's what Elijah showed. He showed the word of God coming into that land. And see, that's why John the Baptist came with the power of Elijah, because that was showing that God was now dealing back with his nation. After those 400 years of silence, God was now speaking to his nation again in the spirit and power of Elijah. And we're going to see some of that. But when Elisha came showing that God was leaving the land. And we're going to see that there. We're going to see that. And we're going to see how, we'll just take a look at that. Come over to 2 Kings. Let's look at chapter 2. 2 Kings, chapter 2. Let's take a look at verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee that a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Now, what you're seeing here, you're seeing this coming to pass, what he asked for. He asked for a double portion, and he said, and Elijah said, well, that can happen, but if I'm taken up from you, and if you're witness of that. So that was the case there. In verse 13, it says, and he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. Now, isn't that coming to remembrance of what happened with Moses? When Moses and the children of Israel being led out and the waters parting? Then this is another miracle here, which you see going on here. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came in to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now see, they're looking upon this miracle. They understand about Exodus 34, about the signs and wonders given unto show God's power amongst his people. Verse 16, and they said unto him, behold, now there will be with thy servants 50 strong men, let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mount or some valley. And he said, it shall not sin. Now, as you see in this here, you see what's going on with Elijah. He's showing the power of God here. Now, look at later on here, the waters became non-drinkable. So Elijah made them able to drink from the waters. He healed the waters there. And that's what we see. Let's look at that in verse 21. 2 Kings 2, verse 21, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from any thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Now, I want you to take a look at what's going to take place here. And what's going to take place here is what we see in Leviticus 26. This is one of the courses of punishment there, the third course. Look at verse 23. And he went up from thence into Bethel. That's the house of God, there. And as he went, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. Now, this is what we've seen about in the third course there, when it says, I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. This is one of the judgments based upon the kids there. 42 kids destroyed by wild beasts there. Now, as you see this here, as we're looking at this third course here, we're looking at some of the aspects of it and some of the things that's going to take place. And you see Elijah, you see God starting to walk contrary to them by having Elijah back himself out of the land, the same way Israel came into the land. And that was a judgment there. Then he's doing that. He has Elisha came in the same way that Elijah backed his way out of. And when Elisha comes in, he comes in to institute that third course of punishment in the land. And he's trying to get Israel to yet hearken unto the Lord. And this is what we see take place there. And now you see things are going to take place like the enemies are going to now be increased. They're going to be reigning over them. And it's going to bring in courses of punishment seven times more according to their sins. And that's what we see here. Now let's take a look at some other particulars before we go to the actual fourth course there. Let's take a look at a couple of particulars there. Let's go to, with time's sake, but let's just do this. Let's look at the fourth course. Let's just scan it over, and because I know there's so much to look at there about Elijah and Elisha. There's so much to look at there, and we'll end up finding ourselves spending the rest of the time looking at that, or we can just go into the fourth course. What we'll do, we'll go into the fourth course, and if you get the time, I'd like for you to take a look at that, the issues there of Elijah and Elisha. Let's go to the fourth course. Come back to Leviticus 26, and let's take a look at that there. Leviticus 26, let's look at verse 24. And this is the fourth course. Verse 24. Then I will also walk contrary unto you, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. Now, you wonder why God doesn't say seven times more. Like before, in the other course of punishments, we see like in the second course, in verse 18, he says, I will punish you seven times more. And then the verse 21, in the third one, he said, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you. Well, the reason why he's not saying more this time is because he's saying, I will also walk contrary unto you. Because this is now, not only is he punishing them more, he's actually walking contrary to them. Meaning, it's not saying he's against them, but this is when you start to see you'll see things like Nebuchadnezzar, who was, I'm not saying it happened here, but certain things like other nations were being used by God to punish Israel. And that's what this means here when it says, then I will also walk contrary to you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And again, the avenge of the quarrel of my covenant, the covenant that they broke, that they wouldn't hearken unto. And the rest of the verse here, and when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send a pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered in the hand of your enemy. Now, all when all this is taking place, this is, of course, being allowed by God. But again, these people are working, I'm not saying they're working with God, but they're bringing forth judgment. That they're bringing forth this judgment. That sword is going to be brought forth by, in the hand of the enemy. Verse 26, and when I have broken the staff, and when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. So they're never going to be satisfied. They'll be reached to the full. And you see this fourth course come in when the Lord began to cut Israel short. See, that this was all because they wouldn't hearken unto the first, second, and third courses. They weren't responding properly, even after being punished seven times more for the ways. But now they're going to experience that second course of punishment, that fourth course of punishment. Sorry. Now, in the fourth course of punishment, let's take a look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. And let's take a look at, where are we at? 2 Kings chapter 10. Let's look at verse 30. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 30. And the Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in mine heart, thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord, of God of Israel, with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which hath made Israel to sin. Now, you see here, you see Jehu, he's, it says here, first you see in verse 30, it says, the Lord says, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes. Then, verse 31, but Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord, God of Israel, with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, and which made Israel to sin. And when you look at this here, this is something that it's, like I said, it's hard to be understood by some who, you know, because when you're looking at this, it's like, how could they not do this? And it seems that they just get worse and worse and worse, you know. But this is what we see taking place, and God is just in giving them these five courses and the five installments, as you can see all the wickedness that's here and them walking contrary to the Lord. Now let's take a look at and notice verse 30. The Lord saying this unto him, one-on-one, actually speaking unto Jehu and saying this. But again, he took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord. Let's look at verse 32. In those days, the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coasts of Israel, from Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, and the Gittites, and the Reubenites, and the Manassehites, from Aor, which is by the river of Arnon, even Galad and Bashan. Now, you see the fourth course that's bringing. That begins when Hazael smote them in all the course of Israel. Now, this is the beginning of it. This is the beginning of the fourth course here. Because Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord. And he didn't hearken unto the Lord. You notice how the kings are bringing forth this? You got Hosea, he brought in the fourth course. You got actually Solomon brought in and the Lord told him, he said, well, I won't do it for you. I won't do it now because of your father. But I'm going to do it unto your son. But it's actually the king himself bringing these courses upon him. But that's because the people hearkened unto the voice of the king. But you see, again, the fourth course is brought in by Hazael, who smote them in all the coasts of Israel. And just as Israel earlier knew not God, now the Lord will begin to walk contrary unto Israel, as though he knows not Israel. And they have the Lord walking contrary unto Israel. That's to be as if the Lord was with the enemy. And the Lord, it would almost give Israel the view of how the nations should be looking at Israel. And I'm going to say that again. The way these courses of punishments were working, it was placing Israel in the place of what the other nations were getting when Israel acted right. Because when Israel hearkened unto the voice of the Lord, Israel was the one that taking all the spoils of the enemy. They were the ones that were getting all the blessings in their land, eating their bread to the full, being a mighty nation, being feared amongst other nations. Now, because they don't want to hearken unto the voice of the Lord, now you got the Lord walking contrary onto Israel, and he's walking against Israel in everything. Israel has their land taken instead of being a great number. They begin to be small in number by their enemies, and by the sword, they're going to be delivered into the hand of their enemies. You know, they're going to be cast out of their land by the Syrians, by the Syrian oppression, and that's who King Hazael was. As a matter of fact, let's look at that. Come over to, come over to 2 Kings 13. Come over to 2 Kings 13, and let's just take a look at King Hazael there, the king of Syria. 2 Kings 13, let's look at verse 22. But Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Joaz. Now, you're looking at Joaz. Joaz is well, you're going to see that in a second here. Verse 23. And the Lord was gracious unto them, and he had compassion on them, and he had respect unto them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. And as you see this here, you see the Lord will begin again to be gracious unto them. He had compassion on Israel because of his covenant. And he's showing, okay, in between each course of punishment, there was an interlude of blessing in between each course. And what you're going to see him, by him having that compassion on them, that's what you see take place there. And looking at that, you see God's graciousness remembered his covenant. And now he could have instituted it at that time, but he didn't there. And he says, not as of yet. And the fifth course of punishment was going to be coming in. But when that fifth course of punishment come in, they're going to come in, that's going to come in under the reign of Hoshea. And we'll look at that next week, but we're not going to take a look at that now. But when you're looking at those course of punishments, the northern kingdom, they're going to go through that first. And then the southern kingdom was going to go through that. But most of that, all the things you see in 2 Kings chapter 10, all the way to 2 Kings chapter 16, that all pertains to the northern kingdom. That all pertains to the things the northern kingdom is going through. That's chapter 10 all the way to chapter 16. That all pertains to the northern kingdom's issues under the fourth course. But when you get to chapter 15, verses 36 and 37, that talks about that southern kingdom, that commencement of that second, the southern kingdom of that fourth course. And let's take a look at that issue there. Come to 2 Kings chapter 15. 2 Kings chapter 15. I got to get there myself. I closed the book by mistake here. 2 Kings chapter 15. And let's look at verse 36. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? In those days, the Lord began to send against Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah. Now you see here, they're getting Syrian oppression also, but it's different kings. King Hazael, he oppressed Israel. That was the northern kingdom oppression. The southern kingdom oppression came later when you see this taking place with Judah, the southern kingdom. Now they're going to get the courses of punishments last. And that's what you see here. You see that all take place with these other kingdoms here. This is taking place here with the southern kingdom. Now, but all this has to do with Israel. They're doing evil. Now, come back to verse 9. Come back to verse 9, and verse 8, and let's take a look at that. Why this came to pass here. 2 Kings 15, verse 8. Verse 8. And in the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, did Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel in Samaria 6 months. Verse 9, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father has done, and he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. Now, don't that sound familiar with what we heard what the other king did? But what the other king did, we see Jehu did, and it's the same thing there, you know. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. It's the same thing there. Now let's come over to I'm going to take a look at the fifth course because with that fifth course, there's a lot that goes into it, and there's also five installments that go into that fifth course as well. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to take a look at this, because it's quite a bit of verses that go into that, because it's a lot that covers it. And I'm going to introduce it now, and then we're going to introduce that first installment next week. So let's take a look at that. Leviticus 26. And let's look at verse 27. And this is that fifth course. And folks, you can see all the evil that Israel has done here. And you would think, man, wow, this type, this people here is, can you think people are bad today? And you wonder, you know, and it's funny how God stuck with this nation. He didn't give up on his people. Because as wicked as they were, the nations were seven times more wicked than they were. You got to remember, Israel was looking at what the nations were doing, and they were incorporating some of that into what they were doing. So let's just take a look at that. Leviticus 26, verse 27. And if ye will not for all of this hearken unto me, but will walk contrary unto me. Now, in looking at this here, even though the people that are getting this here didn't live under the first course of punishment, they still, their fathers went under it. They're still feeling the effects of it because they're not in the land, or the land's not yielding its increase, or they're small in number. They're looked upon as a castaway nation, so to speak. The nation is rent in two. So they're already feeling the effects of not being what God called for them to be as a people and being a holy nation, kingdom of priests, a strong nation. So they understand what's being said here about if you will not for all of this hearken unto me. Verse 28, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I will chastise you seven times for your sins. Now, before, God said that if you won't hearken unto me, then I'll walk contrary unto you. In verse 24, now he's saying he's going to not only walk contrary unto them, but he's going to do it with fury. And I will chastise you seven times for your sins. Now, and you see how great their sins are. So think about that, but seven times being punished for that. Verse 29, and ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. Now some of these things, that's going to come to pass in the last days. That's going to be, some things is going to be taking place out there in Revelations, what's spoken out there about the ones when the Lord says, woe unto them that get stuck in those days. You know, verse 30, and I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. Now, again, the Lord's saying that he's going to walk contrary unto them in fury. Well, you see why. They're going to have high places. They're going to have images. They're going to have images of who? Their idols. My soul shall abhor you. And for the Lord to say that his soul shall abhor them. And you remember that the Lord said in early in the scriptures that he loved the nation. He loved his people. But now, since he's walking contrary in fury, his soul's going to abhor them. Verse 31, I will make your cities waste. I'll bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. I will not smell the savior of your sweet odors. That's because they're going to be bringing up odors. They're going to be worshiping God in vain. So it's not going to be acceptable unto him. I will bring your land into desolation. Your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. He's saying that he's gonna bring them, their land's going to be as desert. It's just going to be nothing there. And the enemies that's in the land is going to be astonished, like, wow, look, what did they do? And I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. Now, that's talking about God. God doesn't even want them in the land. He said they don't even, and we've seen how Solomon, he built high places up until the other gods, and he put idols in the land of Jerusalem. Well, he's just here talking about spitting the people out of the land. He doesn't even want them there. And look what it just says, verse 35, as long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when ye dwelt upon it. But upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of the shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword. They shall fall when none pursueth. And this is the whole idea of them just being afraid instead of them being powerful. And that's the way it ought to have been, them being powerful. Let's look at verse 37. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. Now, is that the way it was in the beginning? Is that the way it was when Jacob, whose name was turned into Israel, that he had victory over other, he's showing his power in Israel as being a powerful nation? No. Verse 38, you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up, and they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. Now, again, this is complete contrary, but as you can see, Israel brought this on themselves. And as you see, God is a just God, a gracious God, showing mercy in spite of all that Israel has done against him. And you know, when you see things like people say, well, you know, God's a God of love, and he would never do this. He would never just send someone to hell for not trusting in what his son did. God made provision for the world to be justified by the Redeemer. And man just ignores or disobeys God's graciousness, his peace and his mercy. And then they look upon things to their own advantage here. And as you see what Israel has done here, and you see all the wickedness that they did. You see people, you see men here who God just spoke, the Lord just spoke to them one-on-one. And they turned right back and did what they wanted to do. They walked contrary to what the Lord said and followed after this world. And you see, yet for all of that, God still did not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Now, if that's not graciousness, then I don't know what is there. So we're going to... I'm going to open things up for the Q&A session. I'm going to stop here, open things up for the Q&A session. Here. And next week what we're going to do is we're going to look at the particulars of that five course and the installments. And if you think that what Israel did back then, what we just read prior, was bad, They're gonna do things a lot more contrary unto the Lord here, and we'll see why the Lord walked contrary and gave those put those installed and instituted those five installments with Israel. So, *61 will get you to the queue. *61 will get you to the queue. And again, next week we're gonna go dig deep into the fifth course here. Big course of punishment. It's a lot to go into, but it's something that it actually shows God's justice, God being just in what he's doing. And it's not an idea of it being God's being unjust to his nation or God not or being having a short fuse, so to speak. And a lot of people would think, wow, man, that's it's pretty harsh. I see the things going on here about the kids getting eaten up, and then the him punishing them like that. But when you get into what's being said here, you'll be able to see a lot of things that God was being gracious, and he offered Israel an interlude of grace between each course of punishment. They had an interlude of blessing there with each prophet. That when Elijah came up, through his reign, through his lifetime, there was grace, peace, and mercy there. That there was an interlude of blessing. There was an interlude of blessing during that time. And the first course, the second course, and the third, and the fifth. And what that did was that was showing Israel a foretaste of that kingdom. That was showing them that if you will hearken unto me, look at how good you could have it. And between each course, but again, after all of that, Israel did not hearken unto the Lord, their God. Well, with that, I'm going to close.